Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha. Welcome to Talking Pictures. Good morning. It is Saturday morning. We're up, raring, ready to go. We're going to do a quick review here. In between, we've been doing Catalina, San Diego. We got Vancouver coming up. We got our special 250th episode this week with Mr. Quincy Rose. Going to be great. That's all I'm going to tell you. Tune in. It has to be great if it's going to be episode 250. Of course, you're going to say, Spielberg, why are we talking about him? I'm a very, very respected critic that I knew once said there's certain films or directors you can't talk about anymore. But I'm going to discuss some interesting stuff here. I recently caught the documentary about him on HBO. It's called Spielberg. I think it premiered on Sunday night, and I caught it. It's on HBO Prime. I'm pretty sure Go and Demand and HBO Regular. Sorry, I don't use Go and Demand, so if that's wrong information, there's no real way to search it. But usually shows, you know, they're, of course, they have to cover Jurassic Park. That was filmed on the island I'm from. You have to talk about Schindler's List, Indiana Jones, of course. I remember being a kid, Temple of Doom, sorry, Carrot, was one of the first films I saw that scared the shit out of me. Molly Rum, when he pulls that heart, which is actually, God, there's this Gregory Peck film. I wish I was thinking of it. At the end, they cut a bridge and everyone falls. So it was a direct take from that. E.T., Raiders, Close Encounters, went through all that, 1941, his dud, yes, Spielberg did make a bad film. So this documentary is cool because then it also goes into, which documentaries don't usually go into, and this was kind of a personal documentary. He opened up and told stories about what he went through making Schindler's List, what his films meant to him. Of course, they had interviews with George Lucas and fellow collaborators like his editor, Michael Kahn, his cinematographer, Janusz Kaminski. They didn't have John Williams, surprisingly. I was really shocked by that. Let's see. As a director, we had Untitled Indiana Jones Project, which means part five. I wish they would have stopped at three. I love Spielberg. I respect Harrison Ford and love him. I won't get into George Lucas because I really wish he would have made more than just American Graffiti. But he's in Kidnapping on a movie called The Kidnapping of Edgardo Martaro. He's editing The Post and editing Ready Player One, which these are 2017, 2018, and Indiana Jones is due for 2020. This movie I enjoyed, even though they were long. It went into War Horse a bit, Lincoln, Bridge of Spies. It drew out this great theme that I'd never really noticed about Spielberg of somebody is being captured or needs their freedom back or is a part of freedom, like Lincoln with the slaves, Bridge of Spies, of course, the prisoner that they have to exchange. Munich, obviously, is Munich, the Olympics. War of the Worlds, someone's being chased for their freedom. Catch Me If You Can, my personal favorite of his. People debate me all the time. They say, how can Catch Me If You Can be your favorite? He made Indiana, and he made E.T., and he made this. And I guess Catch Me If You Can was just this awesome film. You had a little bit younger of a DiCaprio, a 25-year-old, not a 42-year-old, and he was bringing his chops with Tom Hanks. He's been bringing his chops forever since Gilbert Grape. Did not go into The Lost World, went into Amistad again just to illustrate the point of freedom and American stories. I really find it interesting. I'm not being racial, but, you know, Norman Jewison was originally supposed to direct Malcolm X. Everybody made a hoopla, mainly Spike Lee. But he didn't make a hoopla about Jewison directing The Hurricane, which was an innocent black man sent to jail for 25 years. Pardon me for saying black man, but it was to illustrate the point. I have not seen The Adventures of Tintin due to an eye condition I have, but this documentary was superb. It's 2.5 hours. Of course, it had Kathleen Kennedy, his producer since E.T. She now runs Lucasfilm. I highly recommend Bridge of Spies. This, to me, was kind of like his reinventing himself and coming back, because he lost me with Munich too long. He lost me with The Terminal, which was right after Catch Me If You Can. So I guess he lost me with The Terminal. War of the Worlds, I don't like Tom Cruise in action. I like him in a great drama with a superb director, like Born on the 4th of July, Magnolia, Jerry Maguire. I don't know why he is just this action guy now, because he's got the chops. He's got the acting ability. He doesn't need the money. So that's confusing. No disrespect to Tom Cruise. And no disrespect to anybody with any of this podcast, because I won't say how, but I can just say that I do know some people that are close to Spielberg. So should they come across this, I mean, no disrespect. In my opinion, they're just as a moviegoer. So nothing against the filmmaker, obviously. Heck of a nice guy, from what I've heard. Came to our island for Jurassic Park and was loved and humble and kind. I'm not really down with an Indiana Jones 5. I don't like Shia LaBeouf, whatever his name is. Indiana Jones 4, I had a lot of friends who worked on the crew and didn't like that film. So he kind of lost me after Catch Me If You Can, which is funny because it was one of my favorites. And then I was just, the expectations were too high. It was like Indiana Jones 3, people don't like it. They like 2. Some people don't like The Color Purple. Again, they criticize him for story purposes, for being a white man directing a black story. I believe stories are just stories. I'm tired of this white, black, Muslim, Catholic, whatever stuff. I mean, obviously, Schindler's List is going to have more of a powerful punch with someone who's Jewish making it. But The Color Purple, we all understand racism to a degree, and it was a great movie. Holds one of the records. I think it had 11 or 13 nominations. Didn't win one. Schindler's List and Jurassic Park, another fun trivia for you guys. Spielberg's the only director to win Best Picture and have the highest grossing movie in the same year. It hasn't been done. I don't know if it'll ever be done. Of course, Jurassic made billions, and Spielberg picked up a couple of Oscars. You know, Munich, I need to go back to, but I just remember turning it off, and that's a strong statement for me. There's very few films I will turn off, but Spielberg fell into this 25 minutes too long thing, and it started with The Terminal. It went into War of the Worlds, you know, great effects, interesting story, obviously a remake. Munich was the same thing. I think I turned it off because the length. War Horse, my gosh, what a great movie, but boy, did it not need the last half hour or just somewhere trimmed up. But respectfully, I guess if you run the studio and have Final Cut, you're not going to make a short movie. And he earned all this, so I'm not saying anything bad. Lincoln, my gosh, 3 hours. I think I left the room twice and came back. We all know how it ended. We all know what happened. Daniel Day-Lewis, superb. My gosh, what a third Oscar, the only actor to win 3. He was brilliant as Lincoln. But I think at that time I was just so biased to thinking he makes these great movies, but they have to be 2 hours and 50 minutes or 2 hours and 30 minutes when they should be 2 hours or 2 hours and 10 minutes. I guess I'd really have to go back and see if there's a point for these. The Terminal is the only film of his. 1941 I didn't think was that bad. It was a major dud. But I'm telling you about these films because I want you to watch it. I want you to, where now I'm not all old, the old guy on the hill. But we're now in a generation where people are, they have not seen the newer stuff. Everybody sees E.T., everybody sees Jurassic, everybody sees Indiana Jones, but they don't see these films, whether I'm telling you they're too long or not, they're still interesting pieces of work. You gotta see Schindler's List. That I don't include is too long. Amistad, you gotta see to understand the bigotry and racism we've been through. AI was Haley Joel Osment. That was worth it. I remember we cut out of film school to see that. Minority Report was fun on the big screen. I'm yet to enjoy it on a TV or a computer. I don't know if it was just had to be the big screen, but what a premise. Finding out what someone's going to do in the future and arresting them now. Boy, could I go on and on about a social commentary with that. Instead, we arrest a lot of people for things they don't do, and they get let go or not, and so we never know if it was going to be a future crime. Subversive filmmakers. People think that Spielberg is this kiddie filmmaker, but he's got some deep messages which apply to Bridge of Spies. His last film, Bridge of Spies, before the BFG, which was a kid's movie that I didn't see because some of the animation, my eyes get bothered. Bridge of Spies was epic. I wouldn't have doubted if it won Best Picture. It was a great year for film. Of course, Star Wars came out, and I had had a knee surgery, so my mom and I were literally going to the movies every day, which didn't bother me. So the Spielberg doc, I want to just give two huge thumbs up because the filmmakers managed to take this guy that everybody knows, take a filmmaker that people that don't even like films enjoy his work, take a director who's known as the greatest director of all time, even though he mostly just does a lot of commercial films, which is fine, but I'm yet to see something that's very, very personal, like a Scorsese film or an Alexander Payne film. Spielberg's a guy who knows film backwards and forwards, so we don't take that from him. And none of this, anything I've said, is taking away from him or my enjoyment of his films. I like when a film is just, a perfect roast beef sandwich, not roast beef hanging out the side and too much mustard. And that's where I didn't know if I wanted to see Bridge of Spies, because I think it was 2 hours and 20 minutes, and I thought, okay, here's going to be an hour and 50-minute movie that has an extra 30 minutes. Tom Hanks was brilliant. The German actor picked up a supporting actor Oscar. So it was all around a great film. Bridge of Spies, again, I recommend. For younger generation, if you have not seen, I hope you've seen Save It, Brian. Somebody should make you watch that about Normandy Beach and World War II. But if you have not seen Terminal, see it to say you've seen it once and then skip it. Tom Hanks being stuck in an airport it just didn't seem to fly. I love Diego Luna. He's in that. I haven't seen The Adventures of Tintin. War Horse, check out. But I'd say, check that out in two viewings. Watch an hour and a half, then watch the second hour. The time can make you think you're not seeing a good film, but you're seeing a good film. Lincoln, kind of a must just to say you've seen it, but again, 3 hours. Daniel Day-Lewis is the only thing that makes the movie worth it. When do you ever think that a guy with a thick Irish accent is going to play Abe Lincoln? We don't know how Abe Lincoln sounded. And he pulled off the voice, and it wasn't that cheesy Disneyland Abe Lincoln, welcome to the Hall of Presidents. It was just authentic, and it's Daniel Day-Lewis, so he does his voodoo magic, and it's not for directors to know. They control it and wrangle it, but what a film. And from Lincoln Goes to Bridge of Spies. I can't recommend Bridge of Spies enough. I saw it once. I would see it again today if it was wasn't such an expensive rental still on Prime. It might have actually, let me check here. It might have went to, give me one sec. It might have went to HBO now that I think about it. I remember I was gonna watch it, but I was going so the fact that I had an HBO trial and watching documentaries that, let's see, there's a theatrical and a bonus features, and of course it's on Showtime, so you'd have to rent it or pay for it, but I can guarantee you it is worth the rental. It was a superb film. It gave us more stuff to think about. It gave us great tidbits. It helped us understand the freedoms that we have. So this Spielberg documentary, I give two thumbs up. It goes into all of his films instead of just the beginning ones and the nostalgia. And I wanted to recommend this. So if you have HBO, check it out. Go Demand, I believe. Definitely running on HBO and on HBO Prime for you to check out anytime and as many times as you want. Like I said about the Defiant ones, it is worth getting a free Prime trial and HBO. It's not going to cost you a thing. Just remember to turn it off. Sorry, scratched my beard there, so if it cut off, the noise cut off, I apologize. But I wanted to talk about this documentary so people wouldn't just pass it by thinking, I've heard enough about E.T. I know that Harrison Ford was Indiana and could really get something of value of this. I loved it. I thought it was great. I love that he opened up. He's a very private guy. You seldom get interviews where he's talking about what he was going through emotionally making a film or why he made a film. So again, Spielberg is the name on HBO. You're gonna get a lot of goodies. We won't even get into his producing career, which included Back to the Future, a Robert Zemeckis film, Young Sherlock Holmes, Barry Levinson, The Money Pit, early Tom Hanks, Poltergeist, Used Cars. So you could tell he mentored Barry Levinson and Robert Zemeckis, which if you say who's that, we wouldn't have Rain Man without Barry Levinson, and we wouldn't have, I'm drawing a blank, wouldn't have the Back to the Future movies without Robert Zemeckis. Cape Fear, there was a Scorsese movie. He was supposed to direct that and turned out to be a little bit too dark, so Scorsese took it over. And let's see, anything else that's gonna jump out that he's produced so many things, it amazes me. What a filmmaker, what a just pure lover of cinema to be. I mean, he's been producing since 73, first movie The Sugarland Express and then Duel. So, oh yeah, Super 8. I'm sorry, I hated that. I had to review it for a newspaper I worked for. So I only saw it as a good thing that I made $50 to watch a movie I didn't like, which when does that ever happen? So yeah, I think you kind of get the point that Spielberg is, God, they're doing a Gremlins 3, another Jurassic World. I'm just so tired of sequels. So with that, I'm gonna wrap it up. But again, nothing bad said about Steven Spielberg. I admire him as much as anyone. Just we have the right to not enjoy a filmmaker's films, and it doesn't mean we have anything against them or their work or their body of work. But this documentary, Spielberg, epic, awesome, you will love it. We give it the seal of Aloha approval, two thumbs up, 5 stars, whatever, however you like to rate things. So thank you for joining me this so I could kind of review Spielberg the documentary. And then also talk film with myself about these great Spielberg films that now I'm kind of in the mood to watch some of them, and I don't own them, or the ones I own are on DVD, so I have to search what's available on HBO or Prime. So take care, have a wonderful day, spread some aloha, spread some peace, and remember, whether it's morning, afternoon, or night, or whatever other time of day you can find, make sure and watch a good movie. But again, I'm going to reiterate, our world's climate, spread some peace, put your stuff to the side, and just remember we're all equal. I don't use this show as a platform, but since Spielberg has made films that wanted us to look at ourselves, I had to throw that in. Take care. Aloha. Have a great day. And remember, episode 250, watch Miles to Go and Friends, Effing Friends, Effing Friends on Prime for free. And get ready. Take care and aloha.